Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So for starters, I just want to say I'm sorry for making you sit here.
It's okay. I had a feeling something was going on.
I was just trying to get my thoughts together and figure out, like, what was best to say. There's, like, been some things that have been said that, just don't sit right with me.
I don't know what this is, but I had a really good day today. I want you to know that. I'm sorry if I did anything. What do you want to do?
I think what's best for right now is get some sleep. It's been a super long day.
Okay. Is there anything you want to know?
No, not right now.
Welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, Married at First Sight, Back in Boston edition. We're going to get through this together. Not unlike Alyssa and Chris, more on that later, but you guys know I don't tend to love these first few episodes. I'm a little bit bored until we get to the honeymoon because I feel like that's when we really get cooking. But, this is a pretty good episode. Lots to talk about. So let's just get into it. I guess we should start with Steve and Noi. They opened up the episode. They were the fourth couple to get married. And while I wasn't able to watch the episode live, I'm not really sure what the temperature in the room is on Steve and Noi. But I initially really... did I like them? No. I like Noi. I think Steve's got a job that he might need to be getting to, but you know, that's fine for me because I don't have to deal with it. But, my opinion has changed and I wondered if people picked up on this. So let me know what you guys think, because here's what I saw. What I saw, first of all, was a look of horror when Noi walks down the aisle, gets to the altar, asks Steve what his last name is, and he tells her that it's Moy. And she goes, oh, that rhymes with my first name. Okay, definitely not going to change my last name. Imagine Noi Moy. God bless. She really seemed like head in, all in, pretty much immediately. She's really giving into the fantasy or the jantasy of it all. And she's like, you could tell last episode, she mentioned how she was going to say, I want to thank you for being brave enough to do this. And then he just so happened to conveniently mention something along the lines of how it takes a lot of, you know, gumption. He didn't say bravery, but he did use a synonym to do this. And her eyes just lit up and you could just tell she was like, oh my God, this is the moment for me. Then they get to the champagne toast and she seems really excited, like I said, but I thought Steve was trying to lower her expectations like pretty quickly. Like she was like, I just can't believe it that she's already rehashing the wedding. And it's like, you know, we were already making jokes with each other at the altar. Like, I'm really feeling this. I think this is going really well for the past, you know, 20 minutes or less that we've been together. And he says something about like, you know, until we really interact, things are just open-ended. And it's like, well, you signed a legal document, so it's not really that open-ended, you know? it just felt like he was like, ooh, you know, it just felt very non-committal for the ultimate commitment in a relationship. I also noticed that when they walked back after the wedding, he didn't hold her hand. He didn't even try to like escort her, not even giving the crook of his elbow to help her. I just felt very like separatist. He makes a couple comments about how there were moments throughout the day where he did feel like he noticed she was looking at him or there was like a certain spark, but I kind of think he might not be that into her. And that sucks because she seems the most into the process in like from like a romantic standpoint. So I just feel like she's really going to get her heart broken. And that makes me sad. You know, there's no shake and go wig in her closet that's going to heal a broken heart. And that's just the truth. Really, the only time he seemed like kind of interested is when she went to go change out of her wedding dress and she gets into like a traditional Laotian garment. I think it's like for special occasions. And she says that during special occasions, you know, like the husband and wife will wear matching stuff. So she gives him a sash and he seemed really appreciative. And she mentions how important it is that her partner be, you know, really into her culture and willing to learn and be ingratiated in that. She's like a really big family person. And I just wonder if maybe that came up before in past relationships and she's got her guard up about that. She did mention having some sort of like before the 90 days, I'm going to a foreign country for love situations that didn't seem to, I mean, obviously they didn't go well, but I worry about her. Gosh, she just really seems sensitive. I should look up what her sign is. I wonder if she's like, I bet she's a Cancer. When they get to the dinner portion, they're having their conversation. And of course, Noi is like, hey, what do you do for a living? And Steve is like, well, I did work in software development or whatever he said, but you know, there were some layoffs and so I decided to take some time off and do some traveling. And you could tell she's trying to like justify this because her question to him is, were you traveling for the purpose of finding a new place to move or were you just doing it to do it? And he really tries to wax whimsical about this. I don't know why I'm such a hater. It's just because I know this drive. Like, you know, I went up and down the coast. It's like, when you hear somebody took a drive up the coast, you're not thinking the East Coast. You're thinking they're seeing the Pacific Ocean, not the Atlantic. Like, I mean, I'm a diehard East Coast girl, but let's be real here. Like, I don't want to drive through the Carolinas. That's not fun for me. To Florida? Like, I hope she knows how weird that is. That's a red flag for me, almost more than the fact that he has no seeming interest in getting a job again. It's the fact that he like really thinks that he is impressing people by going to Florida. Sorry to my Floridians, but like you guys know what y'all know what I mean. You know what I mean, okay? I know you do. Anyway, Steve is talking about how that trip gave him the opportunity to visit with a lot of friends and it's just like something that he wanted to do for himself. And then he was going to figure it out after. Okay. We live in an economy. Like, does he know that? We're not in the age of just like figuring it out. And never mind. In an interview, Noyes, like, you know, really trying to remain optimistic, and she's like, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that he doesn't have a job, but, you know, I'm not really concerned right now, because it does sound like he can figure it out, and like it's a temporary thing. It's like, okay, well, I'm glad you think that, girl. Live in the high of the moment. This is your special day. I don't want to take anything from you. So then they make Steve have a very weird conversation with Noy's brother. Now, we know what happens typically during the reception, that they will have to, like, ooh, do you guys think you guys are going to make Whoopi? I didn't have to say it, and yet I did, and I said it wrong. Do you guys think you're going to do the deed tonight? Like, what are you feeling the vibe? Like, what's going on? Usually, when they have that conversation, it's with, like, your groomsmen, your bridesmaids, your friends, not your new wife's brother, not your brother-in-law. So they're having this weird conversation, and Noy's brother's like, hey, you know, what do you think, you know, where do you think the night's gonna go? And Steve's like, well, you know, I think we'll probably have a lot of conversation, we'll wake up in the morning. And he's like, well, her brother's like, well, you know, you guys are married, so if you wanna, you know, do that, you can. And Steve's like, yeah, sure. And, you know, it's very weird. It was just very weird. Then Noy's brother says, well, I just need you to know that, like, Noy is not the chaser. She is the one who gets chased. And so if you're not willing to chase her, somebody else will. Okay, damn. Ugh. All right, let's move on to, let's just get Michael and Jasmina out of the way, because there really wasn't much to talk about. There was a conversation that they have while they're eating about Michael's work schedule, which he says he works from like 4:30 to 7:30, which is a lot, Monday through Friday. And Jasmina seems a little bit concerned, and she says that she's used to having partnerships or getting into relationships with people who are emotionally unavailable, and she really hopes that she and Michael are on the same page. Then Jasmina has a conversation with Michael's sisters, and it was pretty emotional. It was they gave her a breast cancer awareness pin in honor of their mom that passed away, and it was a moment. And Jasmina says she really feels like she is part of the family now. And then they give her, you know, some advice, or really a warning, honestly. And they're like, you know, we encourage you to be patient, like really exceedingly patient with him. And then we have Michael sitting down with Jasmina's parents, and that was very strange. Jasmina's father seems, let's get into it. I thought Chris's parents, from Chris and Paige, were weird. This got very weird. So Jasmina's mom suggests to Michael that he be vulnerable with Jasmina, but then her dad cuts him off, or cuts his wife off, and says, yeah, but like, you can't be too vulnerable. because it's like too much, right? And then he says, we don't want somebody weak of mind, so you don't want to be too vulnerable, but I don't want you to bully my daughter either, so if you do, you're going to have a conversation with me. And then he says that Michael needs to not answer every question, because you don't know if a woman's trying to play tricks on you. Now, I'm not Jamaican, but this just sounds like what I hear of Jamaican men, okay? And that's all I'm going to say about that, that they're sneaky little so-and-sos. But that's not for me to say, okay? So we'll just move on. Let's move on to Lindsay and Mac. Not really a whole lot there. Lindsay is really continuing her just tour of running on White Claws. Like, I don't know what her blood alcohol level is at this point, but she's having a great time. She does not care about her makeup, definitely is not caring about her hair. At one point, a titty pops out. We'll get into that in a second. I'm I'm going to say that phrase again. She's still feeling great about Mark, and she says that things are going well. But then she says that she's never met a stranger that she doesn't like. And so that's why things are going well. Mark tells Lindsay that he's really excited about this pairing because he feels like he is a good judge of character. And then he kind of reads her, like, not in a bad way. He just, like, he's got her number. And he says, I feel like you are, there's, like, more to you. Because I feel like you're somebody that I have to learn, and, like, your respect is something that I have to earn from people. Like, you don't just give your love away freely. Like, you've got this wall, not wall, but, like, this persona of, like, ah! Right? But, like, there's something more deeper than this. Than you constantly talking about dicks, and you laying on park benches, and you talking about how, you know, great it is that my cats are going to die in the future. I think there's something more. And I'm looking forward to getting past that. Then Mark says in an interview that he feels like he probably is going to have to pull the love out of Lindsay because he feels like she's probably been in some horrific relationships in her past. And then he says that Lindsay's got a lot of energy and that he's excited to see who she is when she's quiet. Same. Me too, Mark. Me too. So then Mark has a conversation with Lindsay's dad and brother, and it goes back to me being concerned about him and being a little too all in, a little too romantic, like Noi a little bit. He's having like a pretty emotional conversation about how he and Lindsay have similar backgrounds in terms of their having difficult situations with their family members. And he tells her dad and brother that he's doesn't really have a family, he doesn't have siblings, so he's excited to have a brother out of Lindsay's brother. And that's a lot. That's just like a lot of energy. Like, we haven't even had a past app yet at this point. Like, none of us are really thinking clearly, so let's just table this conversation for later before we're having the brother talk. Okay. But that was really it. They go to the hotel room to change, and like I said, you know, they do the typical husband helps the wife unbutton her dress, and then she, you know, slinks into the bathroom. But, you know, Lindsay's past the point of slinking at this point. I think we're more in a stumble and a fumble. So she's like, all right, let me get my toothbrush, my face wash. Just make sure I get everything right now. And Mark's like, okay, I'm seeing your right breast slowly but surely falling closer and closer out of your dress and into the camera lens. So, like, do you need me to help you? Do you want me to help? No? Okay. Can I just cover it? Can I just put one hand up so your aerial is not on national television? No? Okay. You got it? All right. Cool. That's really it. Mark is, like, sitting terrified doing his interview while she's doing her nighttime routine. And he's talking about how he is ready for whatever adventures might be happening in the bedroom tonight. Not anything sexual. He's more thinking that Lindsay might wake him up at 4 o'clock in the morning to jump on the bed for no reason, or just to wake him up and tell him that she's got a pillowcase full of soap and she's going to beat him with it. So he's terrified. This is the beginning of Mark's his night terror origin story, if you will. So, ooh, wow, he's scared. He's very scared. And we all are. We really are. Let's go to Katina and Elijah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, Olajuwon is, as the kids say, sprung. Okay? He's... I didn't look, but I would suspect that there was probably a tent in his pants at all times. He is, like, he cannot take his hands off of Katina, can't take his eyes off of her. He doesn't know, like, if she could slide a contract to, like, screw him out of all of his finances right now, and he would just say, like, where's a pen? The man, wow, like, calm down. Like, she's very pretty, don't get me wrong, like, he's extremely lucky. He's extremely lucky. And he's not a bad-looking guy himself, but I just feel like she's really, really stunning. I just feel like we're floating on air here a little bit, and I would like for both of them to come back to dry land. I was kind of surprised at Katina being so all in with him. As they're taking pictures, he says to her, like, he's a nerd. He's really a nerd. He's like, you know, I was just, like, afraid that you would think that, like, you know, like, my crying was a little too much. Like, I was scared that you wouldn't be attracted to me. Like, because I am a man who cries, but, like, I'm not a punk. Just so you know, like, I'm not a punk. I just, like, you know, we're getting married, so it was, like, in the moment. She's like, no, it's fine. It's okay. But like I said, she seems really excited, and she says that she's used to dating guys who aren't ready for commitment, so she's really happy that he's here. And I'm just wondering, I mean, maybe she's dickmatized herself, because if you're saying that you have a history of dating dudes who aren't ready for commitment, I feel like you also have those guys tend to, like, love bomb you, and then they're like, well, I wasn't really looking for anything serious, you know, I don't really understand. I'm just surprised she didn't really see the writing on the wall with him, but he just seems like a love bomber, you know, there's just, like, a lot happening that he's not going to commit to in, like, probably like a week or so at best. So, but she seems really into him. She says they're dancing, and she's feeling all those, like, mushy romantic comedy feelings. And she was also getting a good couple of fistfuls of that body, yaddy yaddy. And she loved it. She was having a great time. When they're eating, they get to the topic of cooking and whether or not Katina can cook, because we know this was allegedly an extremely important deal-breaking level of issue for Olajuwon. And she's like, you know, I can cook, but I can't, like, you're not going to get anything very special. And wow, have the turns tabled, because he is like, oh, don't worry about that. Like, I can cook. Like, we can learn how to cook together. It's not a problem. As long as it's edible, it's fine. I'm totally, totally okay with it. We just need to survive. Okay. We're fine. Okay. How quickly did he go to, like, I'm breaking up with her immediately to we're all in this together. I'm happy to be your sous chef. Then we have Katina talking to the groomsmen, and one of them tells her, like, in terms of advice for Olajuwon, that you might need to tell him things multiple times, like 1, 2, 3, 4 times before he understands and before he gives you a real answer, which is where the red flag came up for me. Because the guy says his first answers tend to be protecting himself. And so to be patient, I guess, in order to get, like, a true, honest answer, that sounds like he lies. That sounds like a liar. If somebody approaches you with something and you don't say the truth for multiple times, and what you do say is something that will protect you, that's a lie, right? That seems like a lie. Then another groomsman says that Elijah Mon will always challenge you and push you to your limits. And his brother straight up says that Elijah Mon's the type of guy who will mold you into being the type of woman that he wants. Okay, so what I'm hearing is not only habitual liar, but manipulator. You should not have to tell somebody that I have to ask you the same question over and over until you feel like giving me the honest answer. That's dark. None of you should have to deal with that. Why are you even his friend if that's the case? What? When Olajuwon talks to Katina's mom, you can tell she is not into him. Thank you. I'm glad somebody sees it, because I'm hoping we're having some conversations either in front of, ideally in front of, but at least behind the camera to Katina about, like, you in danger, girl. Okay, so Olajuwon is really selling himself, or trying to, and we get this whole montage of him going on and on and on, and we're seeing, like, a Brady Bunch style nine tile situation of him talking about how he's not fake, and how he only really has two friends, how he had the highest GPA of his whole football team, talking about how the chemistry was so natural between he and Katrina, which is not her name. And that was the moment where Katina's mom said, "It's Katina. I actually really don't like it when people can't pronounce her name correctly." And that's when I knew, Mama, we're on the same team, baby. Welcome. They even did this scene, which could not have possibly been real, but it looked like they were trying to make it seem like Katina's mom faked out. Like, she was like, "Look over there, there's a bunny." And then they show her getting up to leave after he turns around to look. I don't think that was real, but I appreciate that you even took the time to edit it to look that way. I loved it. I think if she had thought about it at the time, she probably would have done it, you know? Anyway, they get to the, take off your garter belt section, and once again Olajuwon decides to audition for the next Magic Mike, and was like, "You know, I have no shame." And it's like, "Yeah, we know he starts to take off his shirt, give the girls a little show. He's given a body roll, a couple snakes. He's bumping, grinding, cowgirl, reverse cowgirl, the whole thing. It's a lot. I don't know what he was saying, but Katina seemed to be into it. So, you know, there's a lid for every pot, isn't there? So then Katina talks to her girlfriends, who are horny, my kind of girls. And she seems to really have surrounded herself with some good ones. And I'm happy about that. They're bad girls. And I liked it. Katina's like, "I can't believe I'm married. My last name is Dickerson now." And one of her friends is like, "Yeah, speaking of Dickerson, like, you gonna get it in tonight?" And Katina's like, "I'm not answering this question, but I can't wait to see his tattoos later." And then she says, like, "I just want to have, like, a deep-rooted connection with him first." Olajuwon, just so you know, I mean, I don't even feel like I need to tell you this, but clearly Olajuwon is, like, ready, willing, able. He'll do it right now. He'll do it probably in front of Katina's mother if he, you know, if she really pushed him. I don't think it would take much pushing, but he is like, "I can do whatever she needs me to do. If she, you know, I gave her some of the goods earlier. I did a little flex when we were dancing so she could feel my biceps." He actually said that. And then he said that he is prepared if she asks him to flip her upside down, tie her up. I feel like tying her up comes a lot in Olajuwon's vocabulary when it comes to sex. And, you know, I'm not going to kink shame anybody. I just feel like, actually, it's like the opposite of kink shaming. You know when they say, like, wealth whispers? You know, big dick energy is a thing. And the thing about big dick energy is that you don't have to say it. It just exudes from you, right? And so I just feel like Olajuwon is saying a lot of things and talking about how freaky he is and how sexually open he is. I just feel like he's talking a big game. And I think we're going to get a lot of projection. And I'm wondering if Katina's really going to be happy after that month she said she was going to wait before having sex. Because I feel like the answer to that is no. Katina's, or one of Katina's friends, said that she feels like Elijah Wan is going to work really hard to put his face in it, so to speak. And I feel like he doesn't do that. I don't think he does that. The only thing I want to say about them is they've now, in the past couple seasons, introduced the, we're going to see, I guess they get like a special vehicle to drive off in. Everybody got like something nice. Like Alyssa and Chris got a vintage truck. It looked like Steve and Noy got a carriage or horse-drawn carriage. Y'all, why did they get a Volkswagen SUV? Why do they have Katina out here driving off in a Touareg? What was that? Y'all couldn't even spring for a town car? Y'all were like, let me get the 4-person lift. Like, literally. That's sad. A Touareg. And I think they're cute, but they're not wedding worthy. Not when somebody's getting a horse-drawn carriage. I'd be pissed. All right, you guys know that I like to end on what I feel like are the most interesting couples. This week, it was pretty much the Alyssa and Chris show. And the show was American Horror Story wedding. So we start off pretty good. All the bridesmaids like jump into her bed and like, hey girl, you ready? Are you nervous about your big day? And Alyssa's like, no girl, I'm not nervous at all. And then they do a cheers to Alyssa's future husband being hot. That's foreboding number one. Just check that off. Meanwhile, Chris is in his suite, with his groomsmen. And he's talking about how, you know, the experts have analyzed me more than I've ever analyzed myself. And charts and graphs, buy, sell, stapler, 3-hole punch. I can't wait to get married. Blah, 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 blah. Mr. Robot. Truly, how boring. Pastor Cal says in a talking head that the reason why they paired them is because they're both honest communicators. And boy, oh boy, let's put a check mark next to that one. Two check marks, really, next to that one. Back to Alyssa. She seems, again, still at this point pretty confident. Remember last week how she was talking about putting energy out there, like specific good energy, so that you get back exactly what you're asking for, and how in touch she is with herself, how intuitive she is, feeling her emotions, knowing what feels right and what isn't, how she's pretty spot on about her instincts, but right now she's feeling good. And if she didn't feel good, she wouldn't be doing this, but she's doing it. Then she starts to talk about how physical appearance and chemistry are her top priority, which I don't think we heard before. And considering the cameraman is angling the camera up at Chris while he's sitting and talking to his groomsmen, in such a way that really highlights the shark-like nature of his teeth, I just feel like that's going to be check number three, something that we're going to have to circle back to later. This is the only gift that we saw, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Lindsay and Mark did, but usually they show like, oh, your future husband, a future bride got some bullshit that we paid for. You know, we gave them a $75 stipend, so here's what they did with it. And I feel like that's the only one that we saw was Chris. So Alyssa starts to read this letter from Chris, and she's actually still feeling good. And it's about like all the twists and turns and opportunities that led them to this situation. And then she starts to get emotional and is like, I can't cry. So she has her bridesmaid read the rest of the letter. And then she says, at the end, like, I just feel like he said everything that I wanted to hear. So she's, you know, hoping that he's as cute as he sounds from the letter. So then she starts to wait to walk down the aisle. And she again mentions how important physical attraction is. And not only that, how teeth are really important to her. And she's going to be like, thank you, but no thank you, if she sees even the hint of a snaggle tooth. I mean, no shade, but shade. I can't. His teeth are not great. They're not great. There's a little bit of crowdation happening. Really the issue is the color. And I feel like that's really what's, doing things for her. I like almost feel bad for him, but not really. When she walks down the aisle, you could tell, not good, but she is trying. She's trying. Like I compared, them to Henry and Christina from New Orleans. And I would say that she's very much still giving Christina for me, but she did keep it cute at least for like 45 seconds, I would say. A good 45, things were good. Until he really smiles, and then you could see her nostrils flare up, and she, at that point, could not look him in the eye for the rest of the ceremony. I made note to, like, usually I'm writing and looking and writing and looking, but I was like, oh, let me actually watch this scene to see if at any point she makes eye contact with him again. Never happened. Never happened. When they get to the part about the, this is what your friends and family want you to know about your future wife, about Alyssa, they specifically point out that she does not have a poker face. And if she doesn't like something, if something's bothering her, you'll know it right away. It'll show right on her face. And that's a face that I think we're getting right now. And Chris does not seem to be getting it. He, like Elijah Wan, is very sprung. He's very horny. He thinks that she's very pretty. He keeps mentioning how pretty she is. And he's clearly really excited about how hot she is. And he says, you know, if I don't really have a type, but if I had to say it, it would be her. if Alyssa had to say it, she would say the opposite. And I think she did later. Did you guys also notice when they walked down the aisle after they got married, she did not smile? She didn't even look happy. Stone face. Like, I've never seen anybody look actually, like, not even a, I'm in this situation where I'm supposed to be happy, so let me fake it smile. Couldn't even fake it. Could not even fake it. It looked like he was dragging her to her execution. Honestly, when they get to the champagne toast, they get to talking about, like, what's your last name? What's your occupation? Literally two questions. And Alyssa's tapped out. She's like, I don't know what else I need to know about you. Like, can I go? Just guys, take this mic off and can we leave? But Chris, he was like, well, I just feel like, you know, this is going to come up anyway. So I should just tell you now that I am the, regional manager of the disc golf, Institute of the Northeastern Board. I don't know. I don't care. And neither did Alyssa. She was like, I don't know what that is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I don't even know what disc golf is. So he explains it to her. And in an interview, she's like, I mean, he could show me how to do it, but like, I don't think I would ever want to actually play or do whatever it is that he just said he was doing. Then on the way to take pictures, Chris is blabbering about his real estate career. And he's like, oh, I used to work in this neighborhood and blah, 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 here's my territory, Worcester, whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, cool. But in an interview, she's like, I obviously want to be here, like on the show, not specifically here. But I joined the show to find a husband and partner. But Chris looks like a real estate agent. And then she laughs. Honestly, I think real estate agent might be like the best possible situation. Like if I saw Chris and I didn't know what he did, you just showed me a picture of Chris and said, what did he do? I would say part-time GameStop employee. Like, I don't know. Best Buy, definitely. He is for sure Best Buy energy. Definite Best Buy energy. I would say that. Seems like he would wear a blue polo shirt. That's what would be my answer. At one point, he was talking about how he is doing multiple multi-million dollar deals. And when he's doing that, he really has to be like a duck where like you're paddling underwater, but you're calm above the surface. And that's what he's doing. And that's what, like, he's just that type of guy for people. And I'm seeing why you're single, bro. Like, I'm really getting it. Then the photographer tries to get Alyssa to put her head on Chris's, like, chest, shoulder area. She's like, I wouldn't normally do that. So, no, like, don't ask me to do that. We're not going to, like, make out. I'm not really a mushy person. So, anything outside of a light touch or, like, a Duggar-style side hug, not happening. Okay? Chris is still trying to make the best out of things because he thinks she's hot. And this is really just like a testament to like the lengths that men will go to try to make it work with women that they're attracted to, even though there's no chemistry whatsoever. It's truly a fascinating watch. He says that he actually appreciates how direct she is and how he's kind of looking forward to her being direct in the future because, you know, it'll be very easy for him to understand. There won't be any cross communication and, you know, things are going to be really easy for them because of it. And so far for him, there are no red flags at all. Y'all see what I mean? So then they get to the dinner and somebody's doing the like clink the glass to get the couple to kiss. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to give in to peer pressure. Okay. So in an interview, Chris says he really doesn't know how she feels, but he's hoping that she's attracted to him because he's really attracted to her. And then Alyssa says, I just have a gut instinct that, like, while I want to be here to find a partner and husband, I just feel like, you know, it's been like a really long day. It's been like a high stress situation. And I just don't know if I'm going to be Chris's wife forever. You know, I just kind of need to process everything that's going on. So can I leave? Ooh, it does not get any better. This is where things really ratcheted up a notch for me. Chris sits down to speak to Alyssa's mom. The first thing he asks her is if Alyssa has said nice things about him. And this is the first time she's like, oh, I just met this guy and I have to lie to him. I have to lie to him immediately. She's like, no. I mean, well, when we were together, we were dancing and she said that she really liked you. And I said, I did too. That did not happen. Ma'am, that did not happen. I mean, fake it till you make it, but you're not going to make it. None of us are going to make it if this is what we're faking. So then he's like, oh, thanks. Okay, cool. So then he's like, do you have any advice for what to do if Alyssa has a bad day or something? And mom is like, my best advice is to not say anything to her at all. Don't say a word. Then we see Alyssa talking to Chris's groomsmen. And one of them asks, what was your first impression of Chris? And she's like, really having to scramble to find an answer. And she's like, well, I felt like he was kind. Then one of the groomsmen says that Chris likes to teach people because he wants to bring out the best of them. So if you start feeling like he's being condescending, I assure you that's not what he's trying to do. He just wants to get the best out of you. And then the kids keep coming because then the next groomsman says, you know, if he tends to monologue and he tends to blabber. So if you don't like where the conversation, the topic is, if you don't want to talk about that, then just change the subject or just tell him, like, I don't want to talk about that right now, because he will go on and on and on if you let him. So cool. That's awesome. And then the other groomsman tells Alyssa not to be afraid to stick to her guns, even if he repeatedly tells her that she's wrong. And in an interview, she's like, I don't know how I'm going to put up with this kind of behavior. And then we see Chris talking to Alyssa's bridesmaid. And it's obvious to me that she has had a conversation with them and is like, I don't want to do this. Or maybe they saw the look on her face when she was standing at the altar. And you could just tell that they know already, and they are not going to say anything, but they're not going to not say anything either. The first thing they say is, like, she doesn't really go for, like, the nice guy type, so you're kind of a little bit out of her comfort zone. And then he asks him, did she say anything, or do you think that she likes me? And they're like, yeah, definitely. But, like, you should also know that she's probably not going to want to share a bed with you. Probably you should maybe take the physical affection as it comes, because she's probably going to take things slow. She might be a little bit standoffish. But, like, don't take it personally, but, like, she's definitely not going to sleep. She's not sleeping with you. She's not sleeping next to you. She's probably not going to touch you. And you're going to have to hold off on that, homie, because take it as it comes. But like I said, it's not coming. So up until this point, all the other couples have had, like I said, the sexy, take your dress off, toothbrush, let's jump into the rose petals on the bed situation, except for them. Although the beginning of the end starts with Chris sitting in the corner, like he's obviously waiting for, Alyssa to finish her interviews, but he knows something is up at this point. Then the camera pans over to some double doors, like a conference room or something like that, banquet hall, something in the hotel. And you just hear Alyssa talking. And as a Bravo Housewives fan, I know that when we're getting just like hot mic situations, because there were cameras, there had to have been cameras on that other end. But when you just see footage from behind a door, then you know shit's real. You know it's bad. And things are, their fourth wall is being broken here. So the first thing we hear is Alyssa saying to a producer that she hates people who are pushy. She hates people who are condescending. And a producer is like, okay, but have you seen evidence of him acting like this tonight? And she's like, well, his friends just straight up told me that's who he is and that's what he does. So then in an interview, Alyssa says, I think we were in the elevator or something, and Chris made a comment about how he was just Alyssa's side piece. And then she's like, ugh, makes me sick. Then she says that Chris is a little bit immature, that he normally would not be her type. And then she has to, like, stop herself from crying. And then she says, I don't want this on camera. And she walks away. And then she says, like, he's so different. I just don't feel comfortable sitting next to him. I physically do not see one characteristic that I asked him for. And then she asks the producer, like, do I have to sit with him and tell him this? Like, what do you guys do in these situations? So the producer's like, yeah, you should talk to him because he has no idea what's going on right now. So she walks outside and she sits next to him and she says, for starters, I just want to say that I'm sorry for making you sit and wait here. And he's like, yeah, I kind of had a feeling that something was going on. And she's like, yeah, I just had to get my thoughts together and figure out the best thing to say. There have been some things that just don't sit right with me. I don't know what to say to you. And so Chris is like, I don't know what this is, but I had a really good day today. And I'm sorry if I did anything. And then she doesn't say anything. And he's like, okay, what is it that you want to do? And she says, I think what's best for me right now is just to get some sleep. And he's just like, okay, is there anything that you need to know? Anything you want to ask me? And she's like, not right now. And then Chris is like, okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And she just gets up and walks away. This is truly going to be a disaster, you guys. Did you watch the preview for what's to come this season? Because I noticed one glaring thing. I only saw very scant footage of Michael and Jasmina. I think something goes wrong with them pretty quickly. Usually they show like everybody walking to decision day and they're like playing with their rings about, ooh, am I going to keep this on? Or ooh, it's been quite the journey. What's going to happen? Did not see him there. He wasn't sitting on the couch. Very briefly saw Jasmina. I think really the shit goes down with them pretty quickly. There was a lot of Alyssa breaking the fourth wall and like trying to talk to production in the middle of a scene. A lot of her trying to produce and being like, I don't want this on camera. I don't want, you know, this. I don't like that. I don't like this. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm kind of missing the like unhinged Christina behavior. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, this is bad to say that I feel like a lot of the time when somebody's getting burned on this show, it's the women getting burned by their shitty husbands. Rarely do we see a woman villain. Only every now and again. I don't even know if I would count Homegirl from last year as a villain. What was her name? Zach and Michaela? Michaela has something going on with her. You know, that's different, right? So I'm looking forward to like a woman villain. And what else did we see? Oh, well, just a lot of drama from Olajuwon and Katina. It seemed like Olajuwon and Katina and, I can't remember who else. Olajuwon and Katina and then Michael and, Alyssa, excuse me, Chris and Alyssa have a lot of drama. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking.